Hare Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjari Hare Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hare Gopi Jana Balabha Jai Giri Bhada Jai Giri Bhada Jai
Gopi Jana Balabha Jai Giri Bhada Jai Jai Giri Bhada
Gopi Jana Balabha Jai Giri Bhada Jai Jai Giri Bhada Yasara Nandana Jai Raja Jana Nandana
Yasara Nandana Jai Raja Jana Nandana
Yasara Nandana Jai Raja Jana Nandana Shari Jai Kunjabi Hari Jai Kunjabi Hari Ravanachari Jai Kunjabi Hari Jai Kunjabi Hari
Ramunati Ravanachari Jai Kunjabi Hari Jai Kunjabi Hari
Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Jai Kunjabi Hari
Radha Madhava Jai Kunjabi Hari
Jai Om Shivaya Paramahansa Hari Gopi Kacharya Ashkatavasita Sri Sumaras, Divine Gay Siskan Founder Chari, Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada Ki, Anantakori Vaishnavindi Ki, Nam Chari, Sri Haridas Thakur Ki, Kanzukaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Gom Bhaktivindi Ki, Sisi Radha Krishna, Rugopinash, Namakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Ki, Sri Vrindavandam Ki, Maturidam Ki, Vridmaya Padam Ki, Ramya Chimunamayi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulsi Maharani Ki, Skantandrishaya Shri Prabhupada Ki, Shishivara Vandaneshwara Ki, Jagannatha Babu Baba Devi Ki, Giri Govardhan Ki, Shri Gauranitai Ki, Gopremanamdi. All glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Today we are very blessed. We are reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, Science and the Teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, very nicely compiled by His Holiness Satsvarup Maharaj. For many devotees, this is actually their favorite shastra. Just like for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said, that his favorite book was Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it's dealt with the pastimes of the Yugavatar Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who delivered the chanting of the holy names of the Lord and explained to us and showed us how to develop prema bhakti with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur-Nitai, we cannot enter into a proper understanding of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So without the mercy of the Lord's devotee, without the mercy of the spiritual master, we cannot understand Gaur-Nitai. So through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are all introduced to the Sankirtan movement, to Lord Chaitanya, to the Panchatattva, ultimately to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Radha Vandaneshwara. So by His mercy alone, we are able to understand these things and experience these things in our lifetime. So Prabhupada's life is exemplary in that sense. Acharya means one who not only knows the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but can present that philosophy according to time, place, and circumstance. So this was Srila Prabhupada's great contribution, that he made the teachings of Lord Chaitanya available to the entire world. So when reading about or hearing about Srila Prabhupada's pastimes and the teachings which Srila Prabhupada has given us, then and only then can we begin to understand Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna. So this book, the Shastra, because it is the pastimes of a pure devotee, is very important for the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Although it is history and it took place, these pastimes took place 30 years ago, 25 years ago, something, 25 and 30 years ago. Just like Krishna's pastimes never become old and stale, but they're ever fresh. So what Prabhupada did within his entire lifetime, but especially in his preparing for the Sankirtan movement, coming to the West in Vrindavan, and bringing the Sankirtan movement to the Western countries beginning in 1965 and 1966. Although this is a period of time which has passed away, hearing these pastimes, Prabhupada establishing the Sankirtan movement, his very intimate dealings with his disciples, his preaching, his great victories in establishing his movement throughout the world, these things are always, well, remain ever fresh because they're transcendental history. It's like Krishna's pastimes are ever fresh. One never tires of hearing them. So if we read this Prabhupada Lilamrita regularly, we'll find we never tire, but it becomes more and more clear to us who is this great personality from the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, only one who is particularly empowered, or one who is particularly blessed by Krishna, can spread the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not a material phenomenon, the Sankirtan movement spread throughout the entire world, obviously, because when Prabhupada came, he had no material facilities. So how could it be a material phenomenon? Before you embark on, or rather before you can be successful in some material endeavor in this world, you need lots of money, you need lots of talent, you need lots of people, you need lots of material charisma, And then maybe you'll be successful in your material endeavor. But when Prabhupada came to the West, what did he have? Didn't have very much money. He had 40 rupees, which is equivalent to about, in those days it was equivalent to about $7. And even that Prabhupada never spent. Although he came with very little material facility, he didn't even draw upon it. Like a person has money in the bank and then when he needs it, he'll draw that money out. Prabhupada never even used that 40 rupees. At least he never used it in America. He always kept it for some emergency. And when he, several years later, actually about 1971, when Prabhupada went back to India, and suffering like heart problems, heart attacks, and he decided to go back to Vrindavan to recover. But even then, it wasn't clear that Prabhupada was even going to come back in 1971 when he left. There's the famous tapes where he's teaching the devotees in the Sringa Mantras for the protection of the spiritual master in Los Angeles, for protection of the spiritual master and International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then he says, in my absence, Lord Nrisimhadeva will protect you. And at least at that time, devotees were thinking that the mood was that Prabhupada is very, very ill now, and the chances are that he may not come back. But in another lecture before leaving for India, Prabhupada said that he'd given everything so that the Sankirtan movement could continue. He'd given the basic elements. The chanting of Hare Krishna, the four regulative principles, the process of association with devotees, the temples, the deities, the prasad, the books, the framework for his Sankirtan movement, for his International Society for Krishna Consciousness was in place. There were senior members of the movement who were becoming versed in the philosophy and who were managing. But it wasn't completely clear that Prabhupada would be coming back from India at that time. And he went to Vrindavan. Of course, he did come back, but it was a difficult time for the devotees. I know this happened just before I joined, the devotees were telling me. But when he went back and he landed in Calcutta, then he took out that 40 rupees and he told the devotee who was accompanying him to rent a taxi. So the devotee rented a taxi and they got in the taxi and they took Prabhupada to the... He was actually staying at one temple that evening in Calcutta. And Prabhupada took out the $40, and he had it changed into rupees, and he said, so pay the driver. And actually it was only a taxi ride, maybe it was, you know, one quarter of that amount, but first time in the West, this disciple didn't know how to deal in India, and he gave the entire 40 rupees, or $40, equivalent in rupees, to the taxi driver. And Prabhupada was very angry. You were given so much, you were so naive, you don't know how to deal in India, I'll have to teach you. But that's where the $40 went. Whatever amount it was. So Prabhupada didn't have any material facility when he came to the West. So how was it that his movement became so successful during his presence and has even continued to expand after his departure? Because, again, Prabhupada was blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was armed with two essential things for a preacher of the Lord. And that is that he had, as he stated, He had full faith in the instructions of his spiritual master, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura, who told him to spread this Krishna conscious movement in the English-speaking language. And he had full faith in the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur, he gave that instruction to preach in the English language, not only to Śrīla Prabhupāda, but he gave it to a number of his disciples. It wasn't only Śrīla Prabhupāda. He was looking for someone who would take up that instruction, take that instruction to heart. Therefore, he asked a number of... He was desperate to see the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread to the Western countries. Because that was the complete plan, that was the Sankirtan. Sankirtan means the complete plan. That was the complete plan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, would go to every town and village of the world. And he meant it like that. It would become a worldwide Sankirtan movement. But it really wasn't until the time of, let us say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that the Vaishnavas began to really understand that instruction, or that prediction, let us say. Because during Mahaprabhu's time and afterwards, the devotees were very busy establishing the Sankirtan movement, or establishing the Sankirtan movement in their particular areas in India. Naratam, Srinivas, Shamananda, they were the next generation of preachers who took the Sankirtan movement to different parts of the subcontinent of India. So that was the world for people of that time. But upon the appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it became very clear that Mahaprabhu wanted the Sankirtan movement to go outside of India. But there's an injunction in the Shastra that if a sadhu crosses over the ocean, then there's every chance that he will fall down. The further you go from India, the more the darkness of Kali becomes present, manifest. So there's an actual injunction that the sadhu should not cross beyond the boundaries of Bharatvarsha, India, lest he risks his own spiritual life, coming into contact with the Western influences. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he imbibed the real vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Jivir Swapoya Krishnera Nityadas, that every living entity is essentially an eternal servant of Krishna. Whether he's in Bengali, or whether he's from Orissa, whether he's from UP, or whether he's from Kerala, Mahaprabhu demonstrated that by going throughout India. Whether he's from Pakistan, whether he's from Iran, whether he's from France, whether he's from America, whether he's from Japan, that is the complete vision. Jivir Swapoya Krishnera Nityadas. That every living entity, whatever despite body he's wearing at that particular birth, is essentially eternal servant of Krishna. Whenever the Lord comes in this material world, it's his profound desire to liberate everyone, give them the chance to go back home, back to Godhead. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he imbibed that principle. He took it to heart. And we know that because his vision was, as he stated in his prayer, oh, for that day when the foreign devotees will come to Sridhar Mayapur, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they'll dance in ecstasy chanting Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan Gaurahari. And he mentions a few countries, the French, the Germans, the Englishman, I forget the rest, but he was hankering for that day when the Sankirtan movement would actually spread to all over the world. And I remember this specific kirtan that we had, and I think it was 72, we went to India. And this was in Sridhar Mayapur. We just got in that land not too long, maybe it was 73, I can't remember the exact year. But the very beginning we had, there was no buildings, it was just Prabhupada's hut in Mayapur. And there was some kind of arrangement for the devotees to stay in the on the land of Mayapur. And we were having a Gaur Purnim festival. And some of the senior sannyasis assembled us and they said, now we're going to fulfill the prediction of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we said, because we didn't know very much. What is the prediction? He predicted that one day, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, devotees from different countries would come to the land of Sridhar Mayapur and they would chant and dance in ecstasy together. Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Gaur Hari. So this is all new to me. But, very nice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted the Sankirtan movement. I thought it was very interesting. And so Yasodhanandan Maharaj, Achyutananda, Swami, I think Madhavisa Maharaj at the time was there. Whole entourage of sannyasis. Now we're going to fulfill the prediction, because before then it hadn't happened. A few devotees had been living in Mayapur, Achyutananda. Maharaj had been living there for a couple of years and he was helping Prabhupada in different ways, and Prabhupada had taken the devotees to Vrindavan and Gurudas and Shamasundar and Malati. They were preaching a little bit, but nothing had really happened in Mayapur yet. But there was a good group, it was maybe 150 devotees or something like that. So we all felt it was like an historic moment. There hadn't been a big group of white-skinned devotees going out and chanting in Mayapur along that road, Bhaktisiddhanta Marg, from where our land is up to the Yogapith where Mahaprabhu appeared, and they had the temple there. So we all assembled and everyone was like, wow. But I was thinking that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said they will come and they will chant with the Bengalis. They will chant with the local devotees. The Mayapur Vasis and the Westerners will come together and they will chant Jai Sachinanda. But I looked around, there were no Indian body devotees at that time. I said, wait, how are we going to fulfill this prediction? Where are the Indian devotees? So anyway, we were excited, We got the mridangas out and the kartals and the wampers and then a big kirtan. In our land there. Lots of dust, I remember going. And then we took the kirtan out to Bhaktisiddhanta Road, that road that goes all along the Ganges there, from the Ghat up to the temple, Yogapith and beyond. We got there and we got on the road and it was like hot out. And we were going to take the kirtan down to the Yogapith there, where the sannyasis were going to speak. So we started going down the road, and then I looked down the road near the Yogapith and there was this huge kirtan of Bengali devotees. And I'd never seen before, because we just arrived in Mayapur. I'd never seen, and boy was that a nice kirtan. They were leaping and twirling and they're playing the mridanga so nicely. They had the turbans on their heads, and they had these signs with tilak, and just like, wow. And they were just as surprised to see us. I mean, I think some of them never seen a white man. So here they were, and here we were, and obviously we were aware of the prediction, but because they were Gaudiya Vaishnavas, obviously they knew as well, because everybody in Mayapur is Bhaktivinoda. He was the one who rejuvenated the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I never spoke to one of them, but I can only imagine, I can say with almost certainty, that the same thing came to their mind that the prediction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is now going to come true, that the French and the German and the Americans and the Englishman will come to Sridhar Mayapur by the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they will chant together with the local devotees, Jaya Sachinanda and Jaya Sachinanda. So it was one of the most memorable experiences that I've ever had in Krishna consciousness. As we went down that road and we were coming closer together, and I think Achyutananda was leading, and he was chanting, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, go hurry! And you know, we were all just putting our hearts and soul, just thinking, wow, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Like one time Prabhupada said, the first time the Sankirtan movement goes to a town, I always remembered this when we were doing Sankirtan in France in the 70s, that the first time the Sankirtan movement goes to a town, he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally accompanies that Sankirtan party. So, you know, we were always doing a town and just, what's the next town? What's the next town? It was like a special moment in history, some special nectar that you could take the Sankirtan movement there for the first time. We always had a big picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the dashboard of our van, and we'd make a garland next, we'd go into a town, we'd make a garland for him, and say, here, by your mercy, spreading the Sankirtan movement. So we're all thinking of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm sure the Bengali Vaishnavas were also thinking like that. And there was so much emotion, so much deep feeling there that, you know, here, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, of course, there's been many, from that time on, there's been so many. But it was special because that was the first time. And I can only think that, you know, the acharyas were there watching. And so we came. And, you know, that road's not very wide. We had a big kirtan, 150, maybe 200 devotees, and they had like even more, like 300 devotees. And we came together, and I noticed that they were also chanting the same thing. They saw they broke into a spontaneous, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, go. Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, go. The two kirtan parties met, and you know, it was just an amazing thing. We met, and some devotees just stopped, they just started embracing the Bengali devotees. And there were some big men there, you know. And the Bengali boys, they were, you know, three or four of them were coming around, a big American man, and devotee and embracing him like this. And then people started crying. It was this tumultuous kirtan. We just mixed all together, and it was just, oh, boom, bada. And all you heard, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, oh, Jai Sachinandan. Must have gone on like 45 minutes, close to an hour. In that same spot, halfway down to Yogapith. And I remember devotees were just like falling off the road, you know, into the kind of the little ditch there, you know, because it was just, it became a wild kirtan. The American devotees were picking up the Bengalis and twirling them around like this and letting them go. And they never experienced anything like this. But it was just all these things happening, and people were just falling off the side of the road and running back up the side onto the road and chanting and chanting, devotees were crying, Bengalis were crying. Nobody wanted to stop because it was a special moment when the Westerners and the Bengali devotees fulfilled the prediction. It was like, you know, nobody wanted to stop, and then gradually just went like that, and we went on with our kirtan, and they went on with their kirtan party. So it was an historic moment. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had that vision. He was the devotee who had that vision that the Sankirtan movement would spread throughout the entire world. And he actually predicted, there's a prediction by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that very soon a great devotee will appear who will take that Sankirtan movement to the Western countries. And no doubt that was Srila Prabhupada. Although the instruction had been given to other devotees by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he'd given that instruction. And Prabhupada got that instruction because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati wanted to fulfill that desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the desire of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed. Now the Sankirtan movement is rejuvenated, it's established again because it had gone down since the time of Mahaprabhu. And he prayed to Mahaprabhu, please send somebody from your personal camp one of your aides de camp, they say in French, one of your personal men who can carry on the Sankirtan movement. And we all know that his prayers were answered by the personality of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he was also, you know, he wanted to fulfill the desire of his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he was also looking, I have carried it this far, now who will carry it further? Who will actually carry it to the Western countries? So when Srila Prabhupada first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as we know, as you've read here much earlier, he was a student, he was a Gandhian, he was involved in Gandhi's movement. This is just the pastime. And when he came, he was educated, and when he came with his friend to see the sadhu who was preaching in Calcutta, then even before, Prabhupada said one time, even before he'd finished offering his obeisances, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you look like a nice educated man. Why don't you take the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach in the West, in the English speaking language? Prabhupada said one time. Even before he got up, he was just, Mindy, you offer obeisances to the sadhu. So he was, and even before he got up, so you can take the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had that instruction from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So armed with faith in the words of his spiritual master, and faith in the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it worked. And that's why Prabhupada emphasized the purity. The actual formula that he gave was not a formula that he personally made up, but I've read it in Japanese history, a similar. So we're reading from chapter 10, concluding the Prabhupada Lila Amrita very soon. And this chapter is entitled Krishna's Great Soldier. Prabhupada traveled by train from Bombay to Mathura. Brahmananda carried him in his arms from the train to a waiting car, and within 15 to 25 minutes Prabhupada was back in Vrindavan. The devotees at the Krishna Balaram Mandir were upset to see that Prabhupada's condition had deteriorated so much in the 1 month he had been away. His room was as he had left it, except for the addition of a large double bed. He lay down and they closed the curtains and dimmed the lights. For about 5 minutes he lay still, with his eyes closed. You are home now, Srila Prabhupada, said Tamal Krishna. Srila Prabhupada lay quietly, not moving. Then slowly he brought his hands to his chest, clasped them together and said, thank you. He seemed relieved. Now you are in the care of Krishna Balaram, said Tamal Krishna. Srila Prabhupada smiled and nodded slightly. Yes, he said, Krishna Tudiyapada Pankaja Pankajarantam, indicating King Kulashekhar's prayer to Lord Krishna. My dear Krishna, please help me die immediately so that the swan of my mind may be enriched, encircled by the stem of your lotus feet. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, how will it be possible for me to think of you? Although Srila Prabhupada was in a precarious state, he remained completely fixed in thought of Krishna in one way or another. Krishna's name, his form, his pastimes, his devotional service. Prabhupada suggested going to see Krishna and Balaram at 9:30, just as he had done before, but his servants advised that he rest today and begin that program tomorrow. Whatever you desire, I will do, Prabhupada said. Tamal Krishna asked Prabhupada if he wanted the Kaviraj to come. As you said, Prabhupada, for better or worse, some husband must be there. Prabhupada nodded. Now manage everything, he said, and let me think of Krishna Balaram. A little before 4 in the afternoon, while devotees were reading aloud from Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada asked if the temple bell had rung the hour. Ever since the temple opening in 1975, He had insisted that the bell at the front gate be rung every hour to signify the hour, and once every half hour. At first, the temple president had been unable to get a watchman who would remain awake for the night and ring the bell regularly. But Srila Prabhupada had insisted so strongly that the temple management had finally established the bell ringing. For Srila Prabhupada, it was more than just a good standard. It was a symbol of the entire temple management's effectiveness. If they couldn't even arrange that the bell would be rung regularly, then how could they manage everything else? Now Srila Prabhupada was saying he thought he heard the bell ring at the wrong time. Tamal Krishna explained it might have been a different bell, and the devotees continued reading Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srila Prabhupada again asked about the bell in the temple dome. As Hari Suri rose to go out and check, the bell began loudly ringing, 1, 2, 3, 4, properly sounding the hour. "That is my concern," said Srila Prabhupada, "that such a big establishment is properly managed. If it is not properly managed, then everything will be finished." "I don't think that's going to happen," said Tamal Krishna. "We are too much indebted to you to allow what you have established to become spoiled." "Please see to that," said Prabhupada. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada called for Akshayananda Swami, and as soon as he came into the room, he inquired from him, "Will the bell ring or not?" Akshayananda promised to diligently see to it, taking the instruction very seriously, as perhaps the last order from his spiritual master. The pujari entered and gave Prabhupada a large, fragrant tulsi garland from Krishna Balaram, and Prabhupada returned to listening to the reading. Late in the day, he confided to Tamal Krishna about the past few weeks. "I must thank you," he said, "that you took me to London and again brought me here without any difficulty. That is a great credit for you. For that I am thanking you. In this condition, a bundle of bones, still you did it. Krishna will bless you." Hari Suri had obtained another detailed astrological chart on Srila Prabhupada from Delhi. The astrologer recommended a mantra to Lord Shiva to be chanted by 10 brahmanas for 21 days. "We have the Maha Mantra," said Prabhupada. "There is no need of others." He spoke disapprovingly of the suggestion. "Are these astrological charts very much applicable for devotees, Srila Prabhupada?" asked Hari Suri. "No," said Srila Prabhupada. "Don't waste money for this astrology." Srila Prabhupada's faith was only in kirtan. Tamal Krishna suggested they again have continuous kirtan, and Prabhupada said, "That is the real business. These astrologers are karmis. We have nothing to do with karmis." Just a note here that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also imbibed a similar mood. He was the foremost astrologer of his time, actually. And he eventually gave up astrology because he said it did not take into consideration the will of Krishna, which is divine. And the will of Krishna is that the living entity becomes freed from the bonds of karma, which are shown in one's astrological chart. And if one accepts the will of Krishna, which expressly in this age is to chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." As Prabhupada said, just by clapping one's hands in kirtan, all the lines in the hand, which also indicates one's karma, they disappear. At the same time, our movement has its authorized astrological department, GBC has requested several devotees to present, because astrology is a Vedic science. The idea is that it's like a road map. So when you're driving down the road, you're appreciating that as you're going down the road, there's certain signs which indicate slow down or speed up or be careful of the turn, or there's a steep hill coming, or there's a high mountain coming in. So as you go there, because you have those signs on the road, which are indicated on the map, then you drive accordingly. So astrology is valuable in that regard, that we do have our karma, and an expert astrologer, Prabhupada said here, we shouldn't have nothing to do with these karmic astrologers, but one who is a devotee and is well versed in the science of astrology, they can let a devotee know what is going to be at this particular part of his road of life, and one can take shelter of Krishna accordingly. That's the idea. Astrology is not the answer to our problems, but it is more like a map. And if a difficult period is coming up, then a devotee can reinforce his Krishna consciousness, which we often do. We take advantage of Ekadasis to reinforce our Krishna consciousness. We take advantage of Kartik to reinforce our Krishna consciousness. So, giving some idea of what the child will be like. The child will have this propensity, that propensity. So very early, the parents can encourage the child to use that propensity in Krishna's service. In response to Srila Prabhupada's call, the 23 GBC members again began gathering in Vrindavan. They arrived heavy-hearted, yet on coming before Srila Prabhupada, they were pleased to give him progress reports and their preaching on his behalf. Srila Prabhupada was happy to hear the reports and was as encouraging as ever to his leaders, despite his condition. Hansaduta Swami was one of the first to arrive from Sri Lanka. Srila Prabhupada instructed him to develop farm projects there, as Kirtananda Swami had done in New Vrindavan. "Sometimes when preaching," said Hansaduta, "I tell them, what kind of country is this? The land is of the Raja Rishis, and some lady is running the government." "Do not touch politics," Prabhupada warned. "We are cultural and philosophical." Prabhupada began dealing with Giriraj over bank matters. The local Vrindavan bank was reluctant to allow a withdrawal from an ISKCON fund, and Srila Prabhupada had to be called in for advice. He gave keen practical strategy for solving the problem, but he asked to be spared these things in the future. Devotees in the room were amazed to see Prabhupada still dealing expertly with such affairs. When Giriraj apologized to Prabhupada for involving him, Prabhupada replied, "Therefore I said, do the needful." Actually, Prabhupada's calling for the GBC men together had been so they could chant for him. Now, more than ever, he wanted the medicine of the holy name, not of the doctors. When he heard that his friend, Dr. Ghosh, was coming to Vrindavan to open a clinic and that he would prescribe treatment, he refused the offer. "These doctors will come and give something to try and save," he said. "I don't want to be saved. Dr. Ghosh may come for the clinic he wants to develop, but not for my treatment." Dhammakrishna Krishna asked if they could at least call in some local Vrindavan doctors. "No," said Srila Prabhupada. Let us take advice for kirtan only." Dhammakrishna Krishna agreed that kirtan was best, because in that way they were pleading for Krishna's help. "Better you don't pray to Krishna to save me," said Srila Prabhupada. "Let me die now." Prabhupada then asked to sit up. "If Hamsadutta is not tired," he said, "he can continue singing." Before continuing, I just wanted to comment a little on the title of this chapter, which is quite unusual. It's Krishna's Great Soldier. Generally, we don't think of a sadhu, and Prabhupada is the perfect sadhu. We don't think of a sadhu as a soldier. A soldier is something very much different. A soldier has friends, and a soldier has enemies. There's no need for soldiers unless you have enemies. So a soldier is one who has enemies, and he confronts those enemies. He fights those enemies. So we don't think of a sadhu in those terms, as having friends and having enemies, or what to speak of fighting. But here it says Krishna's great soldier. This is the second to the last chapter. And why is Satsut Maharaj entitled this chapter Krishna's great soldier? Prabhupada's not a soldier, he's a sadhu. What are the symptoms of a sadhu? Tikshava Krunika Suridam Savadehinam Ajatastatavasanta Sadhava Sadhabhushana. Bhagavatam describes, we don't have to speculate, what is a sadhu? Tikshava, he's very, very tolerant. Karunika, he's very merciful. Suridam Sarvadehinam, he's friendly towards every living entity. Achyuta Satavasanta, He has no enemies. Sadhava Sudabhushana. He's decorated with all saintly qualities. Peacefulness, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy. There's no mention of the qualities of a soldier. He's a good fighter. He knows martial arts. He has courage in battle. So why is this important chapter here coming to the conclusion of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, and we're saying Krishna's great soldier? Because Krishna's a great soldier. When Krishna comes to this material world, what is his business in this world? Paritunaya sadhanam vinashaya cha duskritam. He comes for three purposes, and three purposes only. He comes to enliven his devotees who are always feeling his separation. He comes to kill demons who are harassing the innocent and giving trouble to his bhaktas. And he comes to reestablish the principles of religion. So this is why the Lord comes to this world. And a real sadhu, by definition, the ultimate definition of a real sadhu, is the representative of Krishna. That is sadhu. There's so many sadhus in India, and we offer our respects. They're expert in controlling the mind and the senses. They know philosophy. Perhaps they have mystic powers, etc. Sadhus, they're transcendentalists. They're becoming detached from this material world and advancing somehow on the spiritual path. But the topmost sadhu, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the topmost yogi is he who is engaged in Krishna's devotional service. So what is the service of such a sadhu? It's the same service as the Lord. Just as in a Vedic culture, the son would inherit the same business as the father. He would be trained in the business of his father. The family heritage would be passed down like that. The Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Sudras, their sons would carry on the same work that they had done. That was typical Vedic culture. So the devotee of the Lord, he imbibes the same mission as the Lord. He has the same mission as the Lord. Actually, know that one of my godbrothers told me that he was sitting with Srila Prabhupada at a quiet moment in Mayapur, and Prabhupada told him that it's a famous pastime now. How, I did not want to come down to this nasty place. He called it a nasty place. I did not want to come to this nasty place. But Krishna told me, you go down and I'll take care of everything. Don't worry. You just preach Krishna consciousness. Told that to a disciple. He told it to me personally. So Prabhupada came with the same mission, representing the Lord. And this is the difference between a devotee and all other classes of transcendentalists. All other classes of transcendentalists are concerned with their own liberation, but a devotee is already liberated. He's already liberated because as long as he sticks to the path of devotional service, his deliverance is assured. If he's fully engaged in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnushmanam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandam, Dasim, Sakim, Atman, not living in the material world. As Jesus said, to be in this world, but not of this world. The devotee is living with Krishna because he's engaged full time in Krishna's service, so not involved in the affairs of this material world. He's engaged in the Lord's service. So he's liberated, so why remain? He remains simply to carry on the service of Krishna's service, delivering the fallen conditioned souls. So, to do that, you have to deal with their disease. And what is the disease of the conditioned souls? The disease of the conditioned souls is their forgetfulness of Krishna. And you have to approach them and remind them, my dear sir, you have forgotten Krishna, please take this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And they may not appreciate that very much. So you might have to struggle. Actually, every living entity from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, they're in this material world, They're rebellious. They wouldn't be in this world if they weren't. Mahaprabhu said to one of his devotees, if I had any love for Krishna, I wouldn't be in this world. So every living entity from Brahma down to the ant has a spirit of rebelliousness against the Lord. And a sadhu has to deal with that. Therefore, his preaching is not always appreciated. And therefore, sometimes he has to fight on behalf of Krishna to deliver them. It's like sometimes the doctor has to, the dentist has to hold, in the days when there was no Novocaine or pain, he had to hold the patient down and pull out his tooth. So sometimes the preachers, they have to deal with the non-devotees, but their ultimate purpose is giving them benediction, blessing them. So in general, people may not understand the sadhu. A sadhu may sometimes even become angry. One time Prabhupada was doing a Pandal program in Bombay, and when Prabhupada walked in, then, you know, so many people bowed down, many people stood up, whatever form of respect they were giving. There was like 30,000 people in the Pandal program. And Prabhupada was lecturing, and they were all appreciating, and then he asked for questions, and one Westerner happened to be in the audience. He was a hippie, actually. Long hair, German boy, unclean, arrogant, challenging. So Prabhupada asked for questions, and that boy stood up and said, began speaking, and then he began challenging Prabhupada. He said, actually, I am God. And he went on a ramp, like I said, he just began saying, I am God, I am... The Prabhupada called him up onto the stage. And the boy climbed up on the stage, and Prabhupada began a personal argue with him, shouting at him, you are not God, you are a dog! You know, and the boy said, no, you are this, and they were having a big argument in front of 30,000 people. And Giriraj Maharaj told me that many people walked out thinking, you know, what is sadhu has become angry? Sadhu never loses his control, his sense control. How does Bhaktivedanta Swami can be sadhu? He's screaming it. So how do we understand? Actually, that is the symptom of a sadhu. The real sadhu is the representative of Krishna. The real sadhu is the one who loves Krishna. So if someone offends, let us take a very mundane example. If you're walking, not a devotee, you're walking down the street with your girlfriend, and someone comes up and says, you know, she's an attractive young lady, and he said, who is this ugly witch with, you know, legs like a hippopotamus, lips like a frog, eyes like a snake, and hair, you know? And she says, well, are you going to do something? He said, no. Then how she actually, because there's some affection. The minute that person would open his mouth, if there was some mundane love there, now you would immediately punch him in the nose because there's some affection, some love there. So just imagine the pure devotee. What is his intimate loving relationship with Krishna? They asked Prabhupada one time, who are you in the spiritual sky? And Prabhupada said, if I told you, you would faint. We don't want to speculate, but just imagine how intimate is that loving relationship. And someone offends Krishna, someone blasphemes Krishna, someone says Krishna does not exist, Krishna is an illusion, Krishna is Maya. Therefore Prabhupada would often quote Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the greatest offenders to Krishna are the Mayavadis who deny the very existence of God. But this is the symptom of the sadhu, that he does become angry when Krishna is blasphemed. So therefore Prabhupada, when the hippie said, I am God, and Prabhupada is trying to impress upon his audience, you know, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are all his eternal servants, we should say. So he became very angry. A lot of people left. But actually they misunderstood that was the symptom of the sadhu. He's very, or he'll become very courageous, he'll display courage. And you wouldn't think a sadhu would show bravery and courage. But for Krishna, yes. When Prabhupada came to Paris, And he gave a lecture in Sao Playao. Sao means hall, like you have Conway Hall. Here we passed Conway Hall yesterday. So Sao, the hall of Playao, we had a program there, and it was a free program, and 2,500 people came to that program. It was a big, in those days it was a really big thing. 2,500 people came to a program. And but there was a lot of rowdy, it was during the communist, there was a lot of sympathy for the communists in France at that time. A lot of anarchy, anarchists, etc. So when Prabhupada came in and he sat on a Vyasasan, the leader of one of the anarchists, he stood up and he said to Prabhupada, "Get down off that chair and sit on the lower level. Who do you think you are?" So Prabhupada said, "I'm Krishna's representative. This is the Vyasasan and I will speak from here." And he said, "Parterre, parterre, get down, get down, get down." So Prabhupada said, "I will get down and sit on the ground if you can sit on the seat and explain about God consciousness." So the boy became very embarrassed and he backed away. But we were all very impressed because, you know, these were the people that we'd met on the street many times on Harinam Sankirtan, and they were sometimes fights and shouting and, you know, and here Prabhupada single-handedly stood up to these people, and he didn't get off the Vyasasan, but he defeated them by words, and they backed down. Another time Prabhupada was in Calcutta, and the Naxalites were also part of a communist movement at that time. They were assassinating a lot of businessmen, capitalists. So when Prabhupada came with his Sankirtan party to Calcutta and they were going to do a program, these Naxalites wrote a letter to Prabhupada that he should fly or die. In other words, unless he left the city, gave up that Pandava program he was going to do, then they would kill him. So what did Prabhupada, did he back down and fear for his life? No, he said, "Bring them to me. Bring those Naxalites, I'll speak to them." So they actually came back to the Pandava program. Prabhupada spoke, they were Bengali boys. He chastised them in Bengali for their nonsense. And they agreed that they wouldn't disturb the program. So Krishna's great soldier on behalf of Krishna. When Harikesh had received the call to come to Vrindavan, he had been told to expect the worst. Immediately he contacted his printer, who was in the process of completing several books, and told him that he must have advanced copies by the next day. So by the time he got on the plane for India, he had newly printed volumes of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in German, the Krishna trilogy in German, and a Yugoslavian Ishopanishad. But when he arrived at Śrīla Prabhupāda's door in Vrindavan, a devotee told him he could not bring the books to Śrīla Prabhupāda. "Now, why not?" Harikesh asked. "This is not the kind of mood we are trying to create here," the devotee explained. "What, are you crazy?" explained Harikesh. "Books are Prabhupāda's life and soul." He went in and showed Prabhupāda the seven new books. Immediately Prabhupāda took the first volume of Krishna trilogy and held it up, looking at the cover painting of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupāda began crying and reached out, trying to stroke Harikesh's head. Harikesh reached out and held Śrīla Prabhupāda's hand, thinking himself unworthy of being patted. "He was rotting here, typewriting, said Śrīla Prabhupāda, referring to when Harikesh had been his secretary just before going to preach in Europe. "I said, 'You go. I had 10 servants. You thought that I was degrading you by sending you away. Now, so now do you understand?' 'Yes, I understand,' said Harikesh, sobbing. 'He's an intelligent boy, I thought,' said Śrīla Prabhupāda. 'Why should he rot here, typewriting?' Prabhupāda looked at each book. Printing and everything is first class," he said. He asked how many had been printed, and Harikesh replied, 120,000 Krishna trilogies, 60,000 Srimad Bhagavatam, second cantos, and 10,000 Ishopanishads." "Can you distribute that Ishopanishad?" Prabhupada asked. Harikesh assured him that they would definitely distribute the books in Yugoslavia. "Then print more," said Prabhupada. They continued discussing book production. Books were indeed Srila Prabhupada's life and soul. From Harikesha's entering with the new books, Prabhupada had felt a profound ecstasy that had spread to Harikesha and all the devotees present. Everyone was keenly aware that what they were experiencing was transcendental, a special reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada. And as long as they were sincere, it would not die. "Now you just have to become better," said Harikesha, "more healthy." "Healthy," said Srila Prabhupada, "I have nothing to do with this body." During one of the long kirtan vigils, Brahmananda Swami was present, and Srila Prabhupada called him forward. He wanted to give him the last instructions about Africa. Prabhupada was lying down, and Brahmananda had to put his ear next to Prabhupada's mouth to hear. The other devotees in the room also hushed and came as close as possible. "With Navayogendra," Prabhupada said in a hoarse whisper, "the both of you, South Africa also, there gradually the people are taking. Try to bring Pushta Krishna back. He is very competent. So jointly organize Africa. Have Sangatan, all Europeans, Americans, Africans. Tulsidas is very competent also. United Nations under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's flag. It is possible. Otherwise, that United Nations will be simply false attempt." "You said that when you first came to New York," Srila Prabhupada replied Brahmananda, urgently recalling his first days with Srila Prabhupada, "you went to the United Nations. The very first day I came to the kirtan there in New York. The next day you went for that peace vigil outside the United Nations, and you were chanting Hare Krishna and saying that this Krishna consciousness is the only method for making United Nations." "That is a fact," said Prabhupada. "Try for the protection of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and things will be successful. Otherwise they will simply waste time and be disappointed and change the body and suffer." Prabhupada changed the subject, but Brahmananda was satisfied. He had been given enough service for many lifetimes. Kuladri came into the room on behalf of Kirtananda with gifts for Prabhupada, an $8,000 check, a sapphire ring, a gold medallion studded with sapphires and rubies. "So why don't you find out some bride?" Srila Prabhupada remarked, and the devotee's sudden laughter broke the room's solemn mood. Accepting the ring on his finger, Srila Prabhupada said someone should take care of the other valuables. Kaladri said he also had one request to make on behalf of Kirtananda Swami. "Kirtananda Maharaj said that you have asked us to pray to Krishna before, but he says he doesn't feel qualified to pray to Krishna. So he's asking that you please pray to Krishna for us, because we cannot pray to Krishna directly. We don't know Krishna. But if you ask, Krishna must be sure to fulfill your desire. So would you please pray to Krishna to stay with us? We want you to come to the palace that we're building in New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, if it is possible." "I wish," said Srila Prabhupada, "but unless I become a little strong, how can I go?" "We've also brought some sweets and ice cream," said Kaladri. He knew that Prabhupada could not take it, but he asked if he could just at least take a little taste. Prabhupada agreed, and a small piece of the ice cream was put on his tongue. "First class," he said. Later, Kirtananda arrived, and Prabhupada asked for a report on New Vrindavan. "Everything is going very nicely, Prabhupada," said Kirtananda. "Your palace is almost finished. Already many people are coming every day to see it. It will be finished in a couple months. The other day, a lady went in, and she turned to one of the boys and said, 'I cannot tell you what I am feeling. It is so wonderful.' 'Yes,' said Srila Prabhupada, 'it is wonderful in that quarter.'" He paused, reflecting. "Let us see which palace I am going to." Srila Prabhupada asked Kirtananda to take back his valuable gifts and use them for New Vrindavan. "You require money," said Prabhupada, "so you take back and utilize it there. That is my request." "Thank you very much," said Kirtananda. "Most of all, we want you, though." "Yes, I also," said Prabhupada. "And if I survive, I have a strong desire to go where you are and live there. It will be a great pleasure." Kirtananda had pictures of the palace, and Prabhupada sat up to see them. "You are fulfilling my dream," he said. "New Vrindavan, I dreamt all these things. Wonderful things he has done. He is the first student from the very beginning. When I was in the storefront, he was bringing carpets, bench, some gongs, some lamps." Hare Krishna. So what's very evident here is that Prabhupada continued with his service to his Guru Maharaj up to the very last moment.